This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
You've got to have the guts to say, look, this is an opportunity. And they're working really hard to keep the psychology low here. And where is it? Is this it or not? And I'm making the bet, yes.
Are you tired of overpaying for your gold, silver, and platinum bullion coins and bars? Then visit sdbullion.com today. SD Bullion was recently named the 177th fastest growing company in the United States by Inc. magazine. This is because they offer the absolute lowest prices in the industry and follow up with over-the-top customer service. So what are you waiting for? Go to sdbullion.com today and join more than 60,000 happy investors that save money on every precious metals purchase they make.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah Johnson with SilverDoctors.com, and back with us today is David Morgan, the silver guru, one of the top silver experts. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I should probably have a paper bag over my head. I forget who that was. There was a big thing years ago, and it was somebody. With the word silver, it's really hard to hold. I love the metal. It's still undervalued. There's still so many things that are positive about it, but you don't want to look at just the price. Unless, of course, you're willing to stack and buy more. I mean, here's a RCM bar, kilo bar. In fact, it's really hard to find kilo bars in North America for a very long time. That's not been true for several years now, but you go back in time, Elijah, and I know I'm drifting off on the silver topic, but I wanted a kilo bar, so I actually found this one on eBay, which is pretty tarnished, as you can see, but it was very difficult to find them at one point in time, and now, of course, the demand with China going everything to kilo gold, kilo silver followed, and just since I'm picking up silver off my desk, that's the Wanbao. That is a Chinese boat of silver, and that's what it looks like. It looks like a little boat, and so that is money from China. So anyway, on to your next question.
No, that's awesome. And yeah, we can start with precious metals. I mean, as you were saying, the market right now is not doing very good. In mid-August, we saw the lowest lows for silver that we've seen since 2016, the beginning of 2016. I guess starting with silver, you were showing us a bunch of silver. What is happening right now?
Well, I think we're getting what I call washout bottom, but silver typically does what I call spike low. And we had that, and I actually put out a video for our free list, which I don't normally go into this much depth for the free list, on how to trade a spike bottom. And we basically picked one of my favorite stocks because it has a high beta. And I showed them exactly what I was doing, which I do for my membership. And I said, anything below this level, you can buy it. And right now, we're up a little slightly on that pick. It's really hard to pick a bottom. I mean, I know that as well as anybody been in, you know, markets for 40 years. But I'm also very familiar with the silver market, so I just took a chance that I was right for various reasons I explained in the video, and so far so good. Just want to elaborate on that a little bit, Elijah, to tell you you can be really good and do your best, still be wrong. I don't remember what year it was, but you can go back to the charts, and I'm not going to pull it up in front of me now to, you know, waste time, but there was a spike low at $18.17. Remember the exact number. I've got a pretty good mind for numbers. And I said, that's it. That's the spike low in silver I've been looking for. And I was correct for 14 months. So you could be right for over a year and then be wrong. And after 14 months, silver broke down below that 18.17 mark. Couple of points here. One, I'm not afraid to admit I'm wrong, but more importantly, if you had traded that spike low, you can make money basically for those 14 months based off of picking that low and being right for a long time. So we could have the same thing here. I mean, I know there's others in my peer group that I won't name that have the belief that gold's going to 1,000 and silver's going to 10. I disagree with them, but I'll also look you in the eye and say, I don't know for certain. What I do know so far is that the spike was a tradable spike. And if it does break down, we will follow up this trade with a stop as it moves up and definitely profit. In fact, this one particular situations around the below 550, and I expect this thing to get to $9 by the end of October. Does that mean it will? Does not, but it's like it very well could. So that's a pretty good move. That's almost a double. That'd be like silver going from the current 14 print up to be like in the low 30s, and I don't think you're going to see that between now and the end of October. But in these stocks, you get a lot of leverage. And it's the reason that we teach to start with real metal first and then move into the correct equities. And I just want to remind everyone, the Morgan Report looks at mineral space across the board, not just silver. We do a lot more in the silver market. But having said that, as jokingly being the silver guru, certainly it's a market I pay a lot of attention to.
Definitely. So I know for gold, you were talking about on a recent podcast that you see that it's probably hit a low. We recently saw, you know, as silver went down, gold went down with it as well. We saw a low gold hasn't seen since late 2016. You're thinking that pretty much this is the lowest it's going to go, right?
That's correct. I think for a couple of reasons. One, the sentiment. Two, the way it got there. Secondly, or thirdly, the rebound that it had. In other words, the amount of volume that picked gold up and put back over 1,200 rather rapidly. If you look at the volume, that speaks volumes, excuse the pun. And lastly, of course, the fundamentals, because a lot of gold bugs are really freaked out that, you know, this Turkish lira is blowing apart. There hasn't been a lot of good news out of the Eurozone. The emerging markets are having trouble paying back dollars. I mean, everything fundamentally you could wish for is positive to gold, and yet it goes lower. And of course, I've seen that before. In fact, I remember digressing a bit, Elijah, and thank you for letting me do so. But I remember older than you, but pretty young, because I've been in this market for a long time, and having really positive fundamental news, and gold went down, and I was made a call over to what used to be called the gnomes of Europe. In other words, the Swiss, I'll leave it vague, and ask what the heck's going on here. And basically what they said was very interesting to me. They said, we're not going to be in the gold market for at least another 10 years, maybe even 20. And what's interesting is that they basically weren't very big advocates of gold for a long time, because there's certain banks there that are pro-gold no matter what, just like there's permabulls here. And I guess I could call it permabull. I always have advocated, you know, 10, 20% at the most, no matter what kind of a thing. But certainly we know all markets go up and down. We take advantage of that.
Definitely. Now, for silver, you were saying, you know, some people in the space think it's going to get to $10 an ounce. Do you think it's hit its low, though?
I do. I think this spike low is it. And again, going back earlier, I mean, I picked that one low and it was wrong, but I was right for a long time. So this could be similar. I doubt I'm wrong this time, but time will tell. I'm not addicted to being right. I'm addicted to making money and helping people make money and preserving wealth and all the things I, you know, basically live my life for. I mean, I'm committed. But, you know, I'm not going to get terribly upset. There's just big indicators beforehand. If you pay attention to the market, what it's saying or whispering. And again, you know, the great Richard Russell, I don't think there's anyone out there that doesn't have vast respect for him. The market knows more than anybody. You know, colluded, manipulated, or what, it's still the market. It has market forces, even though it could be run by algorithms. It's still a market. And that being said, you know, I'll just let the market dictate to me. And I have certain parameters and rules that I adhere to and seldom break as far as how I position the portfolio.
Now, regarding the fundamentals, I know last time we had you on, you were saying, you know, nothing is making sense right now. We're having the best fundamentals we've had ever for gold and silver, or at least in a long time. And we're seeing the prices are depressed. They're not very high. Now, can you expand on this and kind of give us an update on this? You recently talked in a podcast about the fundamentals for precious metals, you know, the currency problems we're seeing nowadays, and really gold and silver should be a lot higher.
Well, sure. I don't want to get too long-winded. I mean, I did an interview with a friend of mine, and she and I, the whole interview was about the psychology of markets and the long-term psychology. And I've mentioned this once or twice before, but once gold broke below the 1550 level and silver broke below the 26 level, and you can look on a chart, it was years and years ago, that psychologically broke the the bull case for gold and silver. It broke it technically, which is not nearly as important as psychologically. So a lot of people will hold on and held on and stacked and did all the things that they individually choose to do. But the psychology was just was broken. The psychology was manipulated. It's more important to manipulate the cognitive map, how you think about an investment than anything else. So if you think it's a bad investment, or I'm not buying it, or it's only going down, or it's, you know, wrong or whatever, that's very powerful. So then when you get to a situation like we are right now, where it's like baffling to anybody with a clear ability to think through the situation economically and see that gold's going down when everything fundamentally says it ought to go up, it's for exactly the same reason, the psychology of the market. However, and experience-wise and other reasons, if you find it where we are right now, you have to be a contrarian to the contrarian. You've got to have the guts to say, look, this is an opportunity. And they're working really hard to keep the psychology low here. And where is it? Is this it or not? And I'm making a bet, yes. Am I betting the farm here? No, I'm not. But I'm taking a pretty good position on a leverage basis with the least risk, which means equities that are, you know, billion-dollar companies, so you can get in and out, no slippage, no problem selling if you're wrong, no problem selling if you're right, and saying I'm going to take advantage of what the market's giving me.
Now, we talked before the interview about the open interest in gold, and right now it's actually at all-time high, it seems like. Can you expand on, some people are saying that there's this record high of shorts, but there's... It's more subtle than that. Open interest for gold right now is high. Can you kind of demystify this for all of us?
Sure. So I'm looking at, so excuse the screen, but I need to look to look at the numbers. But so we're talking gold only. I'll just stick to gold. So the open interest, these are unresolved positions. One side is long, the other side is short. They have to match. There's 483,730 contracts, and that's as of August 21st, 2018. So if you look at the net short position, I don't know what the article refers to, but I think it refers to net short in the trading category. And that, not net short, short position. And the short position is 222,000 contracts, round numbers. However, the more important number is the net short position, which is the difference between their shorts and their longs. And you have to net out the difference. So the non-commercial or the trading category is 222,000 contracts, as I just said, but their net long position is 213,000 contracts. So that's a difference of 9,000 contracts, which is a very small number of a net short position. So I think I answered your question, Eliza. Is it an all-time high short position? Yes. Is it an all-time high net short position? Absolutely not. If you move over, I'll just get a little long-winded here. On the commercial side, it's even more baffling. You have a net short position in commercials of 168,000 contracts and long position of 166,000 contracts. So they're only net short 2,000 contracts. So if you total up the net short between both the trading funds and the commercials, it's only 11,000 contracts, which is pitifully small on a net basis. So these numbers are pretty baffling. Lots of open interest, lots of bets. Everyone's on the side of the boat going short, but very, very minor on the commercials, which usually is the side to pay attention to. So you could almost say they're net long. They're not. I mean, I just told you they're 2,000 contracts net short. And that's a telltale that usually we're at the end of what I call the game, because this is basically a paper push back and forth again and again and again. And so if I were to bet here, both on a fundamental basis and on a COT basis, which isn't a real good timing thing, it helps, but it's not accurate as far as timing. You have to have a little patience with these things, because what looks really good can look even better than that over the next week, two, three, or four, five. So I think I hopefully answered your question. If not, shoot it back at me and we'll edit this out and start over.
No, definitely. And I guess my question then would be, what does this all mean for the precious metals going forward here?
I think it means a couple things. One, I think it was talked about, is that if you have 483,000 contracts open interest, it means there's a hell of a lot of money out there in the paper gold market that wasn't there a few years ago. So what does that mean? That means even though the prices have been punished severely for a long time, that there's more and more interest because it's, you know, voting with your pocketbook. It's like, you know, what becomes a hot seller in the electronic world or the next iPhone or whatever. I'm trying to make an analogy everybody can relate to. So even though you don't hear much about gold in the mainstream press and it's like, show me the money or follow the money. If you look at that from that aspect, it's like, boy, there's a lot of interest in gold, even though everybody's bad-mouthing it. But there's, you know, like I said, there's a long for every short and a short for every long. So that's a lot of interest in gold, even though we think, oh, nothing's happening. So I think that's point number one. And point number two is, you know, the old adage in the commodities market, never sell a quiet market. You know, and it's starting to quiet down to this, you know, spike low. We had a move, pretty big move back up. And I know I'm only talking a few days trading. Certainly my opinion could change. You know, I get that all the time. Well, you said on, you know, Elijah's show, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, you pay me a membership fee so that when things change quickly, you get an alert on your, you know, on your phone and telling you, look, you know, my long-term position or my mid-range position has been this. I haven't changed that, or I am changing because of this fact. But again, I can't control the market. So all I can do is observe carefully and make moves basis what the market's showing me.
Definitely. Well, David Morgan, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we let you go, I was interested in kind of changing gears here. You were talking on one of your recent Morgan Report podcasts about, you know, one of your weekly wrap-ups about cashless society. I'd like to get your perspective on this. Do you think this is something we're headed towards?
I do. I think it's something that's probably in the cards. I mean, you know, the article I quoted there was from SRS Rocco, Steve St. Angelo, who I consider him to be a pretty good friend, actually. And I think he's a great thinker. I don't agree with him on every little detail of everything he writes, but nonetheless, he does some great work. Now, I think the push is that direction. It's really hard, though, because so many are still used to cash, and it's going to be really hard to push it out. But I think that is what the powers that be want. I think the banking elites would prefer to have totally cashless digital only system where they can track everything that you do. But again, it's not that easy to implement because so many people are used to, especially my generation, not anymore, but you know, going back to when I was your age, everybody cashed their paycheck every Friday. If you're paid weekly, you cashed your paycheck every Friday. Or if you paid biweekly, you cashed it every other Friday. It was very common in my era when I was, you know, in my 20s to just go cash your paycheck. That's unheard of these days. But nonetheless, it'll be hard to push it out. But yeah, that is what they want to do. They want to have absolute complete control over every transaction that you make.
And I mean, this doesn't seem like the best thing. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of convenience to it. You know, it's a lot easier just to use your debit or credit card to purchase things instead of cash and not have to deal with, you know, the coins and the change. But really, there's a loss of privacy there. And there's also like when it gets to things like what happened in Cyprus, like bail-ins, the possibility of that. I mean, there's no, where could you put your money where the, you know, the government couldn't just take it from you to bail in the banks. I mean, what is your perspective on ways, are there ways that we can fight back against this?
Oh yeah. Well, I, you know, I've been taught not to really use others' names. I just use Steve St. Angelo. I have a problem with that. You know, there's a guy that I feel friendly toward and his name is Max Egan. And I agree with Max totally. I mean, if you really want to do something, well, what can I do? The best thing you can do is use cash for everything. You know, cash that paycheck every other time or whatever. And when you buy anything at the grocery store or when you go to the theater or when you park your car or whatever you do, pay cash. And that will not only keep some privacy going, but it'll really implement that part of the monetary system that we have a little bit of control over. So I'm with Max. If you really want to throw a, you know, monkey wrench into the gears as a metaphor, use cash everywhere you go, every restaurant, everything that you do, use cash. I do it quite often. Certainly wouldn't look you on the camera and say do it every time, but I do it quite often, a lot more than the average person by far.
Definitely. I mean, that seems like a, I guess, really ingenious idea. I mean, it seems, I mean, it's very simple, but I think it's really smart as well. I mean, if people just, you know, put their foot down, and you know, every other time or whatever they purchase something, purchasing cash, you know, cash will stay. I mean, it's almost like, you know, a hand of the free market, right? That absolutely. We actually have power in this.
Voting with some consciousness, right? And saying, look, I want the anonymity, I want the privacy, so any doggone business, Amazon, you know, what I buy is everything that you buy on a debit or a credit card gets recorded somewhere, and then you get this big data and you get marketed to. Whereas if you use cash, it's a private transaction. It's nothing illegal cash. Do illegal transactions happen with cash? Yes. Do illegal transactions happen with in the credit system? Yes. I mean, I don't want to go down this road too far, and please just let's pass it on. But you know, if you want to look at the biggest criminals out there, I mean, what's a bigger crime than making something for nothing and charging for it? I mean, the whole banking system is a fraud.
All right. Well, David and Morgan, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we let you go, can you share with us about your Morgan Report and kind of what makes it different from all other newsletters in the industry?
Oh, great question. Thank you. Yeah, I think one of the things that we do that's different is that anyone who's a paid member, I guarantee they can write 2 questions per month to me, and I guarantee them an answer. I don't know anyone else in the industry. I mean, if you look at the website and follow it, you see that, you know, my consulting fee is rather high. And basically, that's not a free consultation, but almost. So you can write us, you know, my staff, me, 2 questions per month through the membership portal. You got to log in with your membership code, and then you just type in the portal whatever your question is, and I'm guaranteed to give you an answer. So I just want to be very accountable to my membership. You're paying me. I want to be responsive to that.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us today. That seems like an amazing perk for your members, definitely, to get in direct contact with you. Awesome.
Thank you. And thank you so for much. Those that aren't members, just go to the morganreport.com. Just go down the free Morgan Report. Start with the free Morgan Report. And if you like that, then, you know, and you want to start pursuing this industry, the resource industry, and how to make money with it. Buy long-term investing, swing trading. There's lots of methods that I teach. You can go ahead and consider subscription.
Awesome. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's always fun. Thank you.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.